The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Kereshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with the bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Well, hello there, everybody. We are back with you. It is 7:20 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 4:20 on the West Coast, and the UFC event is over. It's all over. How about that? The sun is still out. There's still plenty of time to enjoy the day or night. And Ciryl Gane is now 9-0 as a professional mixed martial artist. He defeats Alexander Volkov. I scored all five rounds for Ciryl Gane, and I was super impressed. I was very impressed. Very smart game plan. Volkov couldn't really get anything going. Gane just was patient at the right times. He got aggressive at the right times. I thought his approach to this fight was brilliant, if we're being honest. So congratulations to him. Now 6-0 in the UFC. Unfortunately, the timing for him was not great. But, you know, maybe he could be a backup fighter for the upcoming fight between Francis Ngannou and Derek Lewis whenever that happens. But we are here at the UFC Vegas 30 post-fight show. My kid just sneezed so loud. It, like, rattled my brain. Oh, my gosh. But I am Mike Heck. I do not do this alone. We got Jose Youngs joining us. How are you, Jose? Did you enjoy the fights?
I enjoyed that. I enjoyed the fights, and it's not even 5 p.m., and we're doing a post show, so I'm not complaining. A coffee machine broke this morning, so that was the only negative today so far.
Ah, that is super unfortunate.
If people know, yeah. if people have met me, they know how just debilitating that is to my day-to-day life.
Yes, I know that, no doubt about it. And we have EK Slide on the ones and twos. Did not get a tweet on the broadcast for the 413th consecutive card. How you doing, buddy?
I don't know. My coffee maker is working just fine.
Well, I guess I have to leave now.
On his way to Casey's house to
tell me more about how your life is better, Casey. I haven't. Nope.
Oh, Where do we start? Oh, we only have an hour for this. So what
next? Bro doesn't even have to button his top button, and he thinks he's better than me.
Where do we start? Should we just start the main event, or should we start with the co-main event? I mean, there's a lot happened. This card kind of flew under the radar. It was really fun in a lot of ways. We had a little bit of everything. Some good finishes, some good fights. We had some bad finishes. We had an unfortunate no contest. We had some controversy in the co-main event, which I'm sure we'll touch on because there's some new developments in that story, which we'll get to. But let's start with Ciryl Gane, Jose. I thought he fought a brilliant fight. This was the kind of performance you needed against a very dangerous and very large man in Alexander Volkov. I thought Gane looked incredible. I liked the way he kept switching stances, kept going to the legs, kept going to the body. And like I said earlier, I thought he got aggressive at the right times, but he stayed patient at the right times. And he was clearly, at least in my eyes, was frustrating Volkov. Like, he was just outside of Volkov's range. And Alexander landed some good shots throughout the fight, but not a ton of them. And I just felt like Gane was kind of frustrating him and then returning with some really good counter shots and just some really good aggressive activity when it was needed. What did you think of his performance overall?
I would define it as measured aggression. It was clearly more aggressive and pushing forward than his previous fight against Jairzinho Rozenstruik. I'm not going to say he took those words, like the criticism to heart, because he doesn't strike me as the individual to really listen to the naysayers and change his entire game plan completely. But I just think he game plans perfectly for Alex Volkov. Like Volkov, like as the broadcast said a million times in the pre-fight show on ESPN Plus, that Volkov really uses his range better than most heavyweights. Like, I think that was the big knock on Stefan Struve. He was 7 foot tall, but didn't fight like he was 7 foot tall. Alex Volkov is almost 7 foot tall and fights exactly like that. Like, he uses his distance well. He throws a lot of kicks. He's just, he puts that snap at the end of his punches that you can't really expect from someone that's like that long and rangy. And I just think Ciryl Gane just pushed forward, avoided a lot of those shots, came in when he needed to. And he's throwing that weird, like, slapping kick that I don't think anyone was expecting. I saw a lot of people tweeting about it. Even they were talking, I actually turned on the broadcast for that fight, and they were talking about that a lot, like that kick that came across the side, but he was still hitting Volkov with the top of his foot, like he was kicking a soccer ball out of the air. So very interesting approach to the game. And I can't wait to see what he does against someone that hits as hard as Francis Ngannou or Derek Lewis. But again, I have no idea what's next for him because what is he? Who's left in to fight at heavyweight? Stipe? I don't think Stipe is going to fight him. So it might just be a wait and see approach for Ciryl Gane.
Yeah, I think it's kind of you either hope you get Stipe or you hope that you can weigh in and maybe be the backup for the title fight when that actually gets booked. Other than that, I just don't know where he goes, Casey, but I was impressed with Ciryl Gane. Oh. Yeah. That fight. Yeah. That it went differently than I thought it was going to go. I liked, I think Jose, you know, sort of introduced it perfectly. Measured violence. What was it? What did you say?
Yeah. Measured aggression.
Measured aggression. I thought that's perfect. What say you?
Yeah, measured aggression. I like that term. Unfortunately, I think for Dana White and UFC brass, measured aggression, they call that boring. I mean, I didn't see. I saw just a slightly more active version of Gane from the same Gane that beat up Rozenstruik for 5 rounds. I did pick Volkov in this, but. Nothing kind of surprised me. Gane is actually just making slow improvements I know Gane and Volkov are the same age, but obviously in cage experience is a big gap. But no, Gane looked good. Gane, he never puts himself in trouble. He never puts himself in bad spots, which is very impressive. And when he did get hit big by Volkov, took a step back, just didn't do any desperate, no takedown attempts or anything when he did get touched up. Just Gane's just a really smart, intelligent fighter, and he's gonna be a tough out for everyone.
Yeah, that was a great win for him. Again,
but the problem, but the problem kind of what we said going into this though, to me yeah, you had the guys at the top, then you have Volkov, then you have Gane. Okay, they switch spots, but I think they're still kind of in the same spot relatively too, in terms of fighting for the belt. So, and each guy has, well, at least Gane now, still has one more fight. And like you said, maybe a backup fight, but that's not really a title shot. I mean, what you're hoping, you know, hoping Francis Ngannou twists his knee, you know, a week before the fight, you know. So, not you, but you know me. So... I think we're just kind of in the same spot, which is kind of what kind of hampered this card coming into it. You know, there's just no high stakes, you know, what we expect for a main event. That's about it.
Yes. So, yeah, I mean, there's really no aftermath talk because you planted your flag before the fight and your flag just kind of stays where it is. It doesn't really go anywhere. So. Yeah. So good win for Ciryl Gane. That was kind of the litmus test in my eyes to see if this guy is the real deal. I mean, I felt pretty confident that he was the real deal, but this one kind of put it over the edge for me. So I think in the eyes of a lot of fans, he took that next step tonight. So while he may not rise in the rankings, he rises right here where it really matters.
That's what matters. That's what pays the bills.
So that's Ciryl Gane. Of course, when you have a heavyweight main event, you got to have a heavyweight co-main event. That is the new trend here in the UFC. So Tanner Boser fights Ovin St. Preux, and I feel like this is the right time to discuss what we alluded to at the beginning of this program. The storyline coming out of this fight will continue on, and I will explain in a matter of moments. So for those of you who watched the fight, and I know I sent out a tweet, and I know Jose sent out a kind of similar tweet where we talked about the officiating of one Jason Herzog, about how he didn't do that great of a job. And MMA Twitter sometimes will either have a positive outlook or they'll have a negative outlook. And immediately when you say something criticizing the referee, you don't look deep enough. You just say, oh, you're calling Tanner Boser a cheater because he grabbed the fence, although he clearly didn't grab the fence. Let me just say that when I put that tweet out, it had nothing to do with the fence grab or the lack thereof. I had no issue with it. Even if he grabbed the fence and got away with it, fine. I don't care. That stuff doesn't bother me. What bothered me was the fact that Jason Herzog thought it was a fence grab, and he went in and definitely touched OSP, maybe touched Tanner Boser too. And to me, like, when you do that, that's like, all right, stop. Like, stop fighting, pause in the action. And then everything just kind of turned from there. Tanner Boser gets back to his feet, lands a shot, lands the big knee, and the fight is over. So some breaking news here. It's not official on MMA Fighting, but I can confidently say this because I know for a fact Ovin St. Preux will be appealing the TKO loss to Tanner Boser. I have a statement from Mr. St. Preux that reads like this. Quote, I felt the ref put his hand on my back, which is only done to pause the action or call a finish. I slightly paused and then the tide turned. We will be protesting and requesting a no contest. So just minutes after the fight ended, OSP talked to his coach, talked to his manager, Oren Hodak. They came to this decision together. They're appealing. I don't know if anything will come of it, but it probably won't. But had nothing to do with Tanner, had nothing to do with the quote-unquote fence grab. It had everything to do with Jason Herzog going in there and putting his hands on the fighters. At least OSP. And I went back and watched it a few different times to see if he actually touched Tanner Boser. I couldn't tell. You can't really tell because of the angle, because you can't see Herzog's right arm to where like Boser's sitting against the cage, but he definitely puts his hand on OSP's back.
Which I think is all that really matters.
So OSP, so because of that and nothing else, that's why he's appealing and wants it overturned to a no contest. So does he have a gripe, Casey?
Yes. I mean, it is a gripe. I think Jason Herzog is actually the best ref in the sport. But hey, even whoever the best basketball player is, I don't know who is, I don't follow sports ball, but even that guy airballs every once in a while, you know? So me criticizing Jason Herzog isn't, I'm not saying he's a bad ref. Like you said, they're humans. And, I did think that changed the fight. And that led to the finish. I mean, I doubt they're going to overturn it, but I'm not like, I can't believe OSP's doing this. It makes sense. And it just kind of sucks. Unfortunate. You know, there was a few unfortunate events that happened on this card, but we'll get bored to later. But this is just one of those unfortunate things. And the only reason I don't want it overturned, because that means, does Tanner lose his money? I know, it just sucks. I mean, but OSP lost a lot of money too, because he know how, you know, so I got to watch the replay again and again and again, because I saw it a couple of times, but then people were like, yeah, but it's really interesting because, like you said, the focus of the appeal is the stoppage of the fight. And I'm pretty sure when the fighters are backstage and the refs talk to them, because if I touch you, things like that, you know, you pay attention, you stop your action. So,
yeah, I actually think he has a gripe here. I don't know if it's going to get overturned or turned into a no contest, but I think it's definitely worth getting looked at. Jose, your thoughts on this this appeal from one Ovin St. Preux?
We lost you, Jose.
Oh, for cripe's sake. It happens to me too. It happened me on the freaking People's Pew Fat show. So
hey, Jose, I'm gonna disconnect you, and if you could reconnect, because it looks pretty bad right now.
So. All right, so we'll wait for Jose to come back, and while we await that, and then we'll go to the peeps in a matter of moments, we have bonuses, Casey. We have bonuses.
My favorite part of the night where I get extremely disappointed.
What do we got? What do you think?
Hold on.
And there is a fight of the night, by the way.
Okay, there's a fight of the night. Okay, well, fight of night's easy, I think. Fight of the night is Timur versus Hani or Hani
Barcelona. Hayoni.
Hayoni, sorry. Is that yep. fight of the night?
Fight of the night, yes.
Okay, good. Has advertised. That fight ruled on paper and it delivered. Performances. Ooh, what am I forgetting? There's a lot of good performances. It could go to a lot of people, to be honest. Oh man. Jose, who you got for performances? I gotta think about this for a moment.
Let me look. What do we think? Do you think there's a fight of the night?
There is fight of the night.
There was, yeah. Barcelos Valiyev is fight
yeah.
of the night.
Yeah, I was going to say that's probably fight of the night, and then I would say
Rachmanov
and maybe Moicano.
Casey, your guess.
No, I'd lie.
I'm gonna go Rachmanov, and I'm just because I want because we're not gonna talk about this fight too much, but I just want to mention Julia Viles just for their barn burner.
So all four of you are incorrect. All four names are incorrect.
Is it Kennedy Njikuwu?
That's one.
Yeah, I was gonna change mine. Yeah.
Why? I don't understand how they take him.
I thought Hanata Moicano deserved a bonus. That was my one of my picks on the pre-fight show.
I have no issue with Moicano getting it. Yeah.
The other one, which is kind of forgotten and everything that has happened since, but it was so ferocious and nasty.
Wells.
Prashnio.
Oh, Prashnio.
Body kick.
Ugh. Oh, poor Ike. That one like hurt my soul to watch him fall down like that. That was a nasty body kick. Really nasty. So they each get $50,000. Congratulations to them.
Submissions almost never get it. Oh, well.
I know. I thought Avila should have been up there. That was a crazy fight. That could have been fight of the night too. That was a great fight.
It was on his way. That had some crazy exchanges. That was a super good fight. But yeah.
But then Barcelos and Valiyev had to go in there and beat bantamweights.
Yeah.
Just be 35ers.
Yeah. Just all these 135ers. Just, you know.
That fight was tremendous. So congratulations to them. 50 Gs. Of course, Timur Valiyev gets the majority decision. Agree with that. I know a lot of people thought it might have been a draw because, again, we have this conversation every freaking post-fight show.
Every show.
The difference between a 10-9 and a 10-8, Barcelos having the most impactful moments in that entire fight, drops Valiyev with that nasty uppercut twice, had him in big trouble.
Hard drops, not just like, oh, I fell over, just like, ugh, yeah. Just
very close to finishing in the second round. Valiyev, kudos to him for hanging in there, but only one judge gave him a 10-8.
Yeah.
Did you score that? Was that a draw in your eyes, Casey?
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty easy draw. I thought it was kind of clear. I don't know. Yeah, I get the fight was, the second round was competitive. Or maybe even Timur was winning that second round up until he got dropped twice and was just barely surviving. I thought that should have been a draw. And it was a clear 10-8 to me.
Yep.
But just hell of a fight. Coming into this, these two gentlemen are top 10 bantamweights that just aren't top 10 bantamweights yet. That's all.
Yeah. And then nice little promo from Timur Valiyev. I dug it. Good on him. Andre Feely, my God, may have had a 10-7 round in the first. That was insane. But unfortunately, we had an eye poke and a no contest. So we have no definitive ending to that fight.
And I feel like that eye wasn't opening because of the damage it took from the first round, not from the actual eye poke itself, you know, because like he got beat up and got kicked in the side of that face in that first round. So, but that's how it goes. Mm-hmm. Unfortunate.
Tim Means now has won three in a row, defeats Nicholas Dalby.
Good fight.
Hanato Moicano, I thought, deserved a bonus. I mean, that was one-way traffic. Just annihilated Jai Herbert en route to a rear naked choke submission win. He's back in the win column after the loss to Hafiel Fazeev. Kennedy in Zekuch. I will get that.
Njikuwu? Njikuwu?
Njikuwu. That's what it is.
Njikuwu?
Yeah, something to that effect. Danilo Marquez probably won the first two rounds too, but again, you know, you gotta do more. You can't just sit and can't burn yourself out in the body in a standing body triangle for two rounds.
Poor Danilo Marquez and his shifting cup. That thing was like behind him. Remember, like he was on his back. And I was like, what is sticking out of his butt? I was like, oh, that's his cup. I was like, and as soon as the round ended, he was like, oh, digging in. I don't know if anyone saw on the international feed. They showed his corner men basically sticking their hand, you know, fixing his cup. Yeah, he had serious cup issues going into that fight. What a bad night for him.
It was a very good night for Shavkat Rakhmonov. He improves to 14-0. This dude is a savage. He's a beast. And I remember having conversations with one Daniel Rubenstein over the last year or so. And he's said on multiple occasions to me via text message that he believes Shavkat Rakhmonov might be the best fighter in his entire stable right now. And he's got a lot of very good fighters on his roster right now.
He's in his corner. He's got Michael in his corner. Freaking Javier Fiziev.
He's got Fiziev. He's got Piotr Jan. He's got Michael Chiesa. He's got a number of very good fighters on his roster, and there's a very good chance that Rakhmonov could be the overall best of the best. So good win for him.
Wild,
another submission win. Great performance. Jeremiah Wells. That was insane. What a debut for him.
That was the one fight I didn't see any of. What happened? I know Wells won by knockout.
Wells is a wild man. He came out like just guns blazing, and in the second round they had this like weird like collision, and Wells landed like a short punch and just dropped Worley, and he landed a couple shots while he was on top of him, and Worley was sleeping, man. Great performance of Jeremiah Wells. About a minute 30 seconds into the second round, he gets the finish. Marcin Prachnio, like we just talked about, he got a bonus, that nasty body kick. Julie Avila back in the win column, third round submission win over Julia Stolyarenko. Great fight. Charles Rosa. Can we talk about the ending of this fight? Poor Justin Jaynes. I mean, this guy puts his entire purse on himself.
Makes it public. Tells the world.
Makes it public. Has Charles is down two rounds. There's no doubt about it. He's down two rounds. He has Rosa badly hurt. Badly hurt. If he just stood there and threw like 10 more punches, may have won the fight. And then he shoots for the takedown, and
it was a collective
groan from the MMA community.
The takedown was so bad, fight IQ, unfortunately, that they even usually the UFC, when they show reactions, it's the reactions to big knockouts. They actually showed the reaction from all the commentators of the takedown attempt, and they just go, no. It was like, I felt so bad for him. I felt so bad for, I don't know.
Really good fight, though. Really good fight. Charles Rosa continues his crazy stretch that Jose brought up during the preview show yesterday, that he has yet to have a winning streak or a losing streak in the UFC.
It was on Between the Links. I wasn't on the preview show.
That's right. So Boston Strong wins another one outside the TD Garden. I think that's second win outside the Garden?
Correct.
And then Demir Hadzevich with the unanimous win.
He's only ever won in Las Vegas and Boston. He's never won anywhere else.
And Yancey almost got that comeback at the very end. That was what a great curtain jerker. Yeah, Yancey almost had that choke. Demir got saved by the bell. You have news coming in?
No, I'm just I'm balancing like 50,000 things. What do the peeps say? Let's go to the peeps.
Ready for the peeps?
And let's see how they're reacting to this.
So what were the – one more time. What were the bonuses? I want to make a nice graphic for our followers.
Fight of the night was Hayoni Barcelos versus Timur Valiyev. Performances of the night, Kennedy and Marcin Prachnio.
Got you. I like Kennedy Njakuwu. He's a fun interview.
Yeah, his story is crazy, man. I
chatted with him for a bit. When I was in Las Vegas when he fought Carlos Olberg, because I interviewed Carlos on Fight Island before he got into the UFC. So I interviewed Kennedy in Las Vegas, and he was, yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you for the interview, sir. Kind of guy. But he was very well spoken. After his win, he goes, everyone at City Kickboxing keeps their head straight up in the air, and I'm going to punch him in the face a lot. And that's exactly what he did.
After he, That's not exactly how the fight went, but
against Carlos Ulberg, it was.
Carlos Ulberg eventually got extremely tired and started throwing punches from his waist.
Well, but, I understand
but
that.
Kennedy but Kennedy is great.
I understand.
He's
a, yeah. If you want, but if you watch that whole fight, Carlos Ulberg was his defense was eating punches between the eyes, and then eventually he got tired. But if you watch that first round, he got punched a ton. Kennedy just didn't punch him hard. He just punched him 100 times between the eyes. And so he pretty much did exactly what he said. I don't think he expected Ulberg to hit him as hard as he did.
Yeah. But Kennedy's toughness, like he just he just likes to get his butt kicked either from the grappling or getting punched a lot for two rounds. And was it the third round? Yeah, the third round he got the comeback win. Like that kid's special. I like him.
Yeah. I said something like this on the People's Pre-Fight Show. Like, I understood like beating Carlos Ulberg like in that fight like gave him a lot of buzz, and I understood that. I didn't understand why he was the favorite in that fight. Marquez.
Oh,
I thought Marquez should have been the favorite. But I'm telling you, man. Like, and I know it's kind of cliche, and a lot of young fighters say this, but I really mean this when it comes to Kennedy. You better fight that man now. Fight him now, because if you wait 2 years to fight this guy and he continues to get better or better or better, man, he's got so much potential. His ceiling is extremely high.
Especially down there in Fortis. You know he's only going to get better.
Yeah, I mean, Marquez, I mean, he should have won that fight. I mean, he was on his way to winning, but he just, you know, just couldn't. I'm not even sure. What did Marquez do?
Damian Maia'd him. Yeah. That's, and then he got tired. And he got punched. He got tired and got punched. Two things you don't want to happen to you.
How do you say the coach's name?
Saeed. Yeah.
Good job on the UFC production staff. I think in between rounds two and three, they focused on Saeed's corner advice. And he told Kennedy exactly what to do. Throw lots of punches, but don't throw with power. Just keep throwing. And that's what Kennedy came out and did, and he won the fight in the next 30 seconds. Didn't throw any big overhands, didn't go crazy, didn't waste a bunch of energy, just boom, 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 all accurate. Everything is super accurate. Boom. Great coaching, great execution by Kennedy, listening to his coaching, making adjustments that late into a fight when you're down. That's a future contender right there. I like it.
Agreed.
Any question? So,
the PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Kereshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with the bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it's just simple. Like, this is happening way too often. So something needs to be done. Who is it? Trevor Whitman has been trying to like develop a glove like this. Like, why are we?
He already did. He made it's good to go. He has said like other promotions could use it if I'm sure, but he himself said like I'm not going to put it out there until the UFC uses it first. Basically, he wants to give UFC first dibs.
Yes. I mean, why aren't we in the boardroom like once a month to figure this out and try to use these gloves?
I'm not sure the glove manufacturers of UFC are. For the longest time, used to be Century MMA gloves, and I'm not a big fan of them. They're really stiff, basically. The Sami, they make the Ryzen gloves, the Pride gloves. They have a natural curve to them, so when your hands are kind of out here, they'll naturally curve like normal. But everyone's like, the Century gloves are so stiff, they just kind of naturally make your hands out like this. And even poor Surreal Gone, DC's all like, see, he's doing it right. He's framing correctly. And then, of course, in the fifth round, he finally sticks his two fingers in Volkov's eye. So even a very disciplined fighter like Surreal Gone, he couldn't even, you know, get away from the eye pokes.
So, yes, the answer is yes. How? We need conversations at least. Yeah. to have.
You know what gloves most likely suck? You know what gloves absolutely suck though? The McGregor Fast gloves. If anyone tries them, they're terrible. Like, you break your wrist in one punch.
McGregor.
Oh, they're terrible.
Go to McGregorFast.com and find out.
Unless they've done a major overhaul, I've put a pair on and I like punched a bag. I'm like, I'm gonna shatter my wrist in these things. I've never felt something like this before in my life.
But you know what is so funny, like, it's the whole like sour milk thing, like, oh, this milk tastes horrible, you gotta try it. And as soon as he said that, I was like, okay, I want to try those gloves on and punch something. Let me see how much it hurts.
It was honestly like they might have done a complete overhaul, because I know Connor was tweeting about how great they are, which he's has to do because they're his gloves, but I tried them. Pass.
Hard
you know
pass.
Which ones are, you know which ones you should try, Casey, that are really good? Engaged. The Engaged gloves.
Really?
Those are really, really good gloves. Like I my hands weren't even wrapped. I just had the glove on.
Nice.
And like, I was punching and it just felt like I would never take a fight without wrapping my wrist, but if I had to choose one glove to not wrap my wrist, it would probably be that. I felt like structurally sound.
I've never worn the Engage gear. I'm really interested in that.
Okay. They're really good. They're really, really high quality stuff.
All right. Yeah. This was an ad. We're just talking.
Okay. We're being brought to you by most likely to get a title shot first, Cyril Gane or Marcin Tybura. I mean,
unless Tybura takes it for $50, maybe the UFC might go that way. Not sure.
I mean, it's got to be gone, but it's still, I mean, it's not, it might not happen until 2022, like late 2022 at the earliest at this point. So.
Is Gone Tybura a possibility? A stay busy fight for Gone?
No. No.
All right. I don't. Just saying.
I think Cyril Gane.
If he has to fight one more time.
I don't know.
Unless it's Stipe.
Yeah, it's the only one. He's literally the only one ranked higher right now.
Yeah, so unless it's Stipe. It's Stipe. If you give him a stay busy fight, I think Tybura makes sense.
Stipe has said he's taking time off to get big, it's like physically bigger. So if he rematches Francis, he's like a physically bigger man. He already beat Jairzinho. Curtis Blaydes is out there, but I think a lot of people just said it should be Jairzinho and Blaydes, rankings wise, and. Like Cyril Gane's what, third now? Like he would be any fight he takes next would be fighting down.
Yeah, I mean, but that's what happens unless you fight. Yeah.
The only thing I can see is like if the world opens up again and they give him like a main event spot over in Europe against another European, then maybe, especially if it's in France. But he said he'd pretty much only want to fight Francis if it's for the title, because they used to be training partners.
Yeah. So yeah.
But it's the answer is Cyril Gane to answer that.
Sure. There's a comeback of the year.
What do we have? What are some other good comebacks you've had this year? Where's my list? Do I have a list of that? Oh, I don't have a list. I might have to go to the comments. If you guys can think of some good comebacks, we're missing it. But that was an excellent comeback. So I'm not sure. Let me see. What's some other good comebacks this year? You know what? I can't think of any right now. It was a heck of a comeback. I don't know. here we go.
If Gon was warned about Finger's eye pokes, how is there not a point deducted in Rafa? Listen,
that's
how many times have we talked about like blatant fouls not getting point deductions? Was it last week that there is multiple fence grabs in one fight, like egregious ones? And was it Beltran who was the one that just kept warning over and over and over again and then didn't take a point? I'm trying to remember which fight it was. Must have been like a heavyweight fight.
Do we think that should have gone? I mean, it wasn't a change outcome of the fight, luckily. Should there have been a point deducted?
I don't know.
That's why
I don't know.
I love half point deductions. I love half point deductions. I know they don't do that, but I really think this is like the perfect example where Gon shouldn't got a full point deducted. They could have really changed the fight. Say if it really was 2-2 going into the fifth round or something like that. But a half point deduction doesn't change the outcome of the fight, but it is a on the record, very, you know, for real, penalty for a rule infraction, accidental or not, or reckless rather. When I say, when people say intentional eye poke, I think more the term we're looking for is a reckless kind of eye poke.
I love this event. Don't care. There are no high stakes. Each fight was fun at 7:29 a.m. now, and I'm still up watching the post-fight show because the event energized me. Yes, Sheila. That's what's up.
It was a good event. Yeah.
It was a good event.
Thank you for your enthusiasm, Sheila. We like it. Jeremiah K.
Battle of light heavyweight at heavyweight. Gustafson versus OSP. I don't hate it.
I saw a lot of people saying OSP is going to be cut. Is there people going, OSP is going to be released? Do you think is this last fight in his contract or what's going on? Just two losses in a row, or is this three losses in a row for OSP?
Is this three out of four? Two straight.
He hasn't looked overly good in any of his losses.
Doesn't look good. Okay.
Oh, yeah, he got smacked up by Jamal Hill, but like I know there was a lot going into that. Yeah. Like he should have pulled out, but got smacked up by Jamal Hill, and then lost a split to Ben Rothwell.
Yeah.
And then he has like a Von Flew and a knockout. So like kill or be killed for OSP.
Yeah. I think just fans were kind of, and maybe the announcers were kind of, I don't know if put off's the right word, but like OSP's kind of sense of lack of enthusiasm in round one. Were you concerned with that? Or is that just, you know, Ovince St. Preux being Ovince St. Patient?
I think that's how he's been for a lot of his fights in general.
Too. I think, yeah, I felt that
like even if look at his last,
I even mentioned on the broadcast too. Like he starts slow. I even asked him about it, and that's what he does.
His Menafield, and I know I'm never going to pronounce the name right. The Von Flew choke he got, I think it was somewhere in Europe. I know I missed that card, but they were both second round stoppage wins, right? So like even his stoppage wins are past the first round. I'm pretty sure even a lot of his stoppage losses are in the second round. So it's how it goes.
All right.
OSP. He's a funny guy.
Me too.
I spent a lot of time with him in Bangor, Maine. He has a lot of brands on his arms. Mm-hmm. And Bangor, Maine is not used to large black men with tattoos and brands walking around.
That's too bad.
So the amount of eyeballs that he was getting was that he thought it was funny.
Open St. Preux, like I remember him from the Strikeforce days. And
I want to say
he's quite the overachiever in this sport. I just didn't expect Open St. Preux to be around this long at such a high level, honestly. And great on him. When I first saw him, I was like, okay, you know, he's good, you know, whatever, ex-football player, you know, I get it. But, it's not even like – and this fight did have its controversy too. So I hope – I just hope we see Ovince St. Preux get one more fight and, you know, that's all. And we really get
I think DC said it a few times that he always felt like Ovince St. Preux was the victim of a really raw talent that's naturally gifted that's just in the wrong camp. Because he was always the man in his camp in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. So, like, if he went to AKA or Jackson's or ATT and like had those bodies to push him, he probably could have been something. Misha Serkinov is the same exact way from what I hear in Canada. Like his gym is really small and he's just the man. And he, if he had like spent a bunch of time in TriStar maybe, but again, I don't know what his situation is. Speaking of, has Serkinov and OSP fought ever? That would be a fun fight.
Is OSP, is he still training in Tennessee?
I don't know.
I believe he is.
Yeah, I think DC does have a point there. I think at this level, your coaches can only do so much. You just need really high level bodies around you. So yeah, that'll be. Well, we'll see what's next for OSP for sure.
All right, let's get a couple more. And
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I like Serkinov versus OSP. I think that's a fun fight too.
I'm down. This is such a Casey question.
We always talk
MMA events. No, I know, because you just tweeted it.
I did.
You asked if PFL was the best event of the weekend. No. And it might be.
Oh, sorry.
I think top to bottom, and I know there's like some holes and there's some controversy. I felt like this card was the best of the three.
I'm pure high level fighting, and PFL. I'm not a big PFL fan, and their fights impressed me. The quality of the fights impressed me this Saturday, but I'll still go. Sorry, Friday. I think overall, top to bottom, I still go with UFC. But like I said, this card. But we said going into this card, even though this card didn't have high stakes or big storylines, we all liked the card. We liked the fights. We liked the fighters on the card. The card, I think the cards, PFL and UFC card deliver. I think Bellator card delivered too. So
yeah,
I think every promotion had it. Every promotion did great this weekend. They did fine.
Sometimes you don't need to compete. You just have a good card and fight fans win.
Yay.
That's right. And we got BKFC.
I don't like this whole comparing all the promotions anyway, because it gets everyone nowhere. Just have a fun time.
So who won this weekend?
I actually
the fans.
When I asked the question on Between the Links, like which of these three was like the most storyline ridden event, I actually like thought it was PFL with Kayla.
Maybe.
With Pettis. How interesting that was. You know, will Lance Palmer get into it? Like I just thought like there's more in the story, like in the aftermath. Like there's more to discuss. Not that like
outside of those three. What are the other big stories without looking at the card?
In which
in promotion? PFL 6. Like, I'm not arguing with you. I'm just playing devil. I just would like to play devil's advocate because I wasn't on any of the preview or post shows or preview or fan Q&As. Like, I agree. Like, but for me, and this is like the Anthony Pettis fight, to me, of all the fights on this card, I was most intrigued to the storyline. His fight specifically. For sure.
100%.
I was absolutely not interested in Kayla Harrison and Cindy Danjual because I think we all knew what was going to happen is exactly what happened. So it's like, I'm going to watch a gorilla just destroy a human being inside this cage. And then the Lance Palmer fight was interesting solely off of his comments pre-fight. I wasn't interested in the fight, like the Lance Palmer fight I was interested in terms of like Lance Palmer is an awesome fighter and he's a very fun interview and he's a multimillionaire from PFL. But I was more invested in that fight off of the interviews he was giving about how his relationship with PFL has deteriorated also because of what his dad was saying and the PFL put out that comment about his dad and everything. I was more interested in that. But the Anthony Pettis fight solely was more interesting, had the biggest storyline than any fight this weekend for me. Outside of that, I think the UFC probably had more interesting storylines for me. Yeah. But Anthony Pettis was at the top, and he lost.
I just love Larissa Pacheco having the biggest knockout of the weekend, I think, of all the cards.
Yeah. It was her or Liz. Two good KOs from the ladies.
Wait, yeah. Even though I didn't know very much about the other city boxing kickboxer, MMA fighter, Janine Fabian. She's another female from 55. She had a great knockout.
Yeah.
Yeah. So everyone won this weekend. Everyone won. Well, except the fighters that lost. They lost. That sucks for them. Let me see.
Do you think Gon will dust Ngannou? See, that's an interesting fight because there's a story there. Former teammates.
I don't. I think they're still friends. I think it's Ciryl Gane's coach and Francis that have the big issues. Ciryl Gane was more than because I chatted with Ciryl Gane for a bit on Fight Island because remember his fight fell off, so we had a bunch of time to just kind of hang about the fighter hotel. He's very complimentary of Francis. Like he's like, I only want to fight him if it's for the title. Like I would love to fight Francis in France and everything like that, but I think it's more Ciryl. I mean Francis and Ciryl Gane's coach that have the issue, which I think would make it even more interesting. Because his, what was it? Fernand has a lot of insight into Francis's rise, obviously, but now he's just a completely different fighter. So I think it'd be a pretty even playing field.
I like the fight. Be interesting.
Oh, I love the fight. I honestly will watch France fight any top 10 heavyweight. Like he's kind of has that mystique to me. Like he could kill a human being with one punch.
I would love this. I think Gane needs that kind of definitive fight. Yeah. I think this wasn't the definitive fight to get him that title shot, unfortunately for him. But once he gets that, I really hope to see that fight because, like I said, when you haven't seen a fighter beaten up before, I know it sounds weird, but I was picking Volkov in this fight, but then I was watching the fight, I've seen Volkov get knocked out. You know, everyone gets hurt in fights, but I've never seen Gane get hurt in a fight. You know, I've never seen him really rocked or on wobbly legs.
He was also that stat at the beginning. He's one of three fighters to have 0 seconds on his back. That's nuts.
That is nuts.
Is Gane Blades a horrible fight to make?
I like it as a high level martial arts competition. I think that would answer a lot of questions of whether Ciryl Gane does well against an extremely high level wrestler. I think that's more of a question answering fight, but I don't know why you would take that if you're Ciryl Gane and his team. Like they're already number three. Why are you going to fight a wrestler behind you?
Because fighters don't turn down fights. Real fighters fight, man. They don't take down any challenges. Sure.
I think it's a ridiculous fight
for Gane to take.
But I think Ciryl Gane would be the guy. If there's a heavyweight in the top five to fight backwards and fight a wrestler, I think Ciryl Gane would do it. He strikes me as an individual that likes – what was his – did you listen to his post-fight interview? He said, I like challenges. Give me the next challenge. I think of all the top five heavyweights, Ciryl Gane would be the one to fight a wrestler behind him.
Yeah.
Right. So if you're Ciryl Gane and you're in this position you're in right now where, A, you're probably not fighting somebody ahead of you for a while. You probably have to wait for the loser of Ngannou versus Lewis. If something happens with Rozenstruik and he can't make it to that September fight, UFC 266, I think it is. Do you just step in there and be like, dude, I'm staying active and I'm going to fight this top five guy because he's probably like taking the zombie approach. Like this is like the only guy left that I can fight. Or does he just wait? That's kind of the conundrum he's in right now.
It's an even more difficult scenario because Zombie didn't have a case for a title shot and Ciryl Gane probably does. Because as to what Casey said, there's no definitive win, which I completely agree. If it was anyone other than the champion's former teammate, I mean, that's just, they're going to go with the storyline option right mm-hmm. there. Any other person, like if it's Curtis Blaydes rattling off all these wins, he's not going to fight Francis. Well, he wouldn't fight him anyway. He's already 0-2, but I don't know. I have no idea what the right answer is. It just depends on if he wants to fight or not. It's up to him.
You know what? If Gane takes less money than Derek Lewis, we might get Ngannou Gane next. It's not the fight I want to see, but you know, it's not. It makes sense still. You know,
I want that fight in Europe.
Yeah, me too.
I really want that. You know, because when Pizzi was doing the A-side with me for so long, he would like prospects of the year and stuff. He would routinely say Ciryl Gane in like the European scene. I would want Francis Ciryl somewhere over there.
All right. Let's talk about another heavyweight, actually. We got this question.
Is Moldovsky a top five heavyweight in the world?
The new Bellator champion. I have him as a top 10 heavyweight for sure. I don't think he's broken top five yet. I think he's top 10.
Yeah, I'd say that's fair. He's top 10, top 15 for sure.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put him in the top five.
Oh, only because we just haven't. He just had. he hasn't had the opportunity to really. He's won all his fights, but it's not like he's, you know, Francis Ngannou them, you know, all his way to an interim belt. He's won competitive fights, which is still very impressive, but which gets you, you know, the top 10 in my book, but top five is a bit of a stretch. But yeah.
If he beats Ryan Bader and unifies the titles, yeah, he's close. He's sure. Definitely close. I still probably wouldn't put him top five, but he's much closer than he is now. That's for sure.
Let me see what the questions
we got. Did Shadrach Ratmanov didn't win a bonus, right?
Nope.
No.
UFC's Instagram, whoever's running UFC social is messing up.
Why? They said he got a bonus?
They said secured the bag with a money thing. Marcin Prachnio and Shadrach Ratmanov put on some bonus worthy performances, and then they have a video of Kennedy Njikawu.
They tagged the wrong dude.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Okay. Yeah. I think we kind of
gone versus Blades. Yeah. I mean, again, Blades is booked. Blades is booked.
Blades is booked? Sorry.
He's fighting Rosenstrike in September.
Oh, I didn't even know that. I forgot, actually.
We, as MMA Fighting first reported, Casey Lydon. Come on now.
Jeez. Blades. I like Blades gone better, but whatever.
Hey, you never know. Maybe
that's a long time. September's long. Well, that's not that far away.
It's 3 months. Like, wow. Yeah. That's wild.
Yeah.
Gone versus Jones is interesting, but I don't see why Jones would take it. Yeah.
Those are fun fights to play on EA MMA or whatever. EA MMA. Remember that? Whatever. The UFC.
John Jones would rather go to Bellator and fight Fedor than fight Cyril Gane.
That was fun. Don't get that thought in my head.
Who doesn't love that?
I'm not sure that. All right, two more. I'm digging the beard, Mike. I'm just lazy. I didn't shave it. Monday, I probably will. I do it like once a week. The head goes like every 2 days. The face, I do like once a week. And that grows back quick. And then I just get lazy. Rachmanov versus Means next.
I don't hate Rachmanov. Where do we go? I don't hate that. I like Means. I always love watching Dirty Bird.
Rachmanov's wins are so much more impressive than Khamzat Chimaev's. I don't like.
Oh my god!
Like,
they're like close.
Like the name value and the way he did it are so much more impressive to me than Khamzat Chimaev. The only problem is Rachmanov can't speak English, and I don't view that as a problem whatsoever in society. I'm viewing this as from the UFC's point of view.
Yeah.
Dude, the answer to me is Santiago Ponzinibbio.
Don't hate that either, but I don't think Santiago will take it.
Well, that's the problem. Anyone
it's number 13, like I mean,
but he's fighting someone way behind him. I think you're going to
find not that far though.
You're going to find a
he's 13.
I think Santiago fighting Miguel Baeza was the fight that after that because remember leading into that fight he did an interview with Aaron Guillermo Cruz. He's like, yeah, I'm fighting a prospect. After this, when I show him that there are levels to this, I'm fighting up higher. Like that, like San. I don't think. I think eventually that fight will happen, but I don't think right now it'll happen because the last fight, Santiago fought a prospect in the top 15, and he put that performance on. I think Rachmanov gets a different opponent.
Who, if Rachmanov fights someone above him, it's gonna be someone that's kind of forced into the fight. Someone like
correct.
I mean, yeah, someone because they have to take a fight and they're coming off a loss.
He's fights. Then if it's not I think Ponzinibbio is the fight they would try to make. You do Jing Liang or Muslim Salikov. That's it.
Why not?
You can't do anybody
I saw people mention Salikov too.
Why not?
You can't do Jeff Neal. You can't do Bilal. You can't do Magny.
Mazdol, why not? Why Kiesha, can't you? Why can't you do Magny?
Because you want to do Magny with Chimaev. That's the play.
That's imagine anybody. That's not going to happen either.
Is Chimaev healthy? Is he cleared?
He's training. Like he's training in Vegas right now.
That's cool. He can post videos all he wants. Like what? Remember his first ever interview that he did, his post fight interview? I'm not an Instagram fighter. I'm actually like this and that. I'm like cool, but right now that's what you are. Like I want to give Rachmanov someone that can actually that we know can get in there. I think for all this talk of Neil Magny versus Khamzat Chimaev, and then what do we all say when we start talking about this? Rakhmonov's fights are so much more impressive than Khamzat Chimaev, and they're actually a welterweight fighting actual welterweights. Rakhmonov versus Neil Magny sounds fun to me.
Ain't Sean Brady looking for a fight?
Yeah, but no, you don't do that.
Prospect versus prospect.
You can't do that. You can't do it. Not yet.
I hate prospect versus prospect fights, but UFC does that all the time. So
I like the Ponzinibbio fight. I get where Ponzinibbio is coming from. If he's like, dude, if I'll fight this Baez guy, but if I win, you got to give me like a vet or something. Like, yeah. I get that. But like, I get like where you're coming from, Jose, with Rakhmonov. Like, if we're going to push somebody and give them the rub, like, let's give it to Rakhmonov and give him the push. But at the same time, there's like, there's something about Rakhmonov where like, I'm okay waiting to see him fight. I was so excited that he was fighting today because I hadn't seen him in so long. Like, it wasn't like Chimaev who fought like he fought once and fought 10 days later and then fought 2 months later. And it was just Chimaev. It was nice to like get a little, you know, just wait for Rakhmonov. Like, when's Rakhmonov fighting? Oh, now he's fighting. Oh, Rakhmonov's fighting today. Yay. It was just nice to like get a little break and
I'll watch Rakhmonov. I'll watch Rock after, because after his fight on Fight Island and his fight tonight, I'll watch Rakhmonov fight every single weekend and I will be entertained.
Yeah. I if they did that, I'm cool with it. I just think they're in kind of two different scenarios, because like the first thing Rakhmonov was like, give me a top 15 guy, but I miss my family. I'm going home for a while. And then, you know, I'll talk to my team down the road and we'll fight again. I don't think he's like in a rush to fight like every card like Chimaev was.
It kind of sounds like, though, and this is a good thing for the UFC and Rakhmonov, but like, even though he didn't win a performance bonus, unlike what UFC social media says, he seems to have gone over, you know? He seems to have that it factor. Even though he's not a trash talker, he doesn't speak English, he can't, you know, he's not a big "I will crush you" on social media type guy, you know? He's just a guy that fights. He has a distinct look, distinct fighting style, no, kind of distinct fighting style. But yeah, I just think it's good for the sport. It's good for the UFC, and we just have another player at welterweight that we want to see. I think
I want to know everything about Shavkat Rakhmonov.
Yeah,
I seriously want to know everything about him. I know nothing about him. That's what makes him so interesting.
He's a less is more guy. Less is more.
I want to see him fight Neil Magny. I really do. I think I've talked myself into that fight is going to happen. I'm putting it out into the ether. Rakhmonov trains it in Sanford. He trains at Sanford MMA, so it's not like he has to fly over and he's right there in Florida. I'm all about like, how many times are they going to go to Florida this year? Dana White's like, Arizona, Houston, Nevada,
that's Florida.
Like, how many Florida? You train in Florida?
I don't think that's home though for him. It's not, just like where he's. Working,
it's definitely not home. I think eventually he might move there, but who knows? Him and Fazeev are funny on Instagram. Like, there was there was like a video of Rakhmonov hitting pads with I'm blanking on his name, Henry Hooft, and Fazeev like Hurricane Rana like a punching dummy like behind him. And they were like, "What the hell?" And then Fazeev just like right away. Oh, he's funny, man. They're both of those guys.
I want to know everything about those guys. Like, just get him in a house, you know, surreal lifestyle and surreal world style. And let's just, I just want to see more of those guys.
I just love how just all these great fighters are just coming from all corners of the world. So you just have all these different types of stories and people and just personalities, but and just fighting in a cage. And then we just learn more about them. That's why this sport is freaking fun.
Yeah, and then we got to meet guys like Terrence McKinney, who's got such an interesting story. He got a crazy knockout. Guess his knee's okay. He's on social media dancing around. So
talking about crazy personalities, real quick before we have to go. It's like Julia Vila's post-fight speech with DC. I just hope that doesn't get forgotten. That was just so sweet. Just so, so freaking sweet. The whole blood. And like DC was like... DC sometimes as an interviewer is like whatever, but like in that role right there, he was great. He was just great. And if you get a chance, find Sydney Outlaw's post fight interview backstage. That guy, he trains at ATT. he's, man, that guy's got a great story. His person, I've never seen a, before Sydney Outlaw left, you know, they put those two cans of Monster, Bellator does it too, cans of Monster energy drink. And he's all like, hey, is this anyone's? And he grabs one. He goes like, can I take that one? He just grabs both cans of Monster energy. He's like, cool, free soda. And he leaves.
I just, the guy, personality for sure.
He's got a crazy past and, yeah, just good. Yeah, that's all. That's one thing constantly throughout my years working in this sport. I just love the completely different types of people we always run into. That's the fun part for me.
That's true. I'm already working on Julia Avila for Monday. So stay tuned. We're already in the works. Don't you worry. We've already, initial conversations are already ongoing to get her on because I have so much to talk to her about. So we shall share. Are we good?
We're good.
Yeah, we'll be talking more about this card tomorrow, AK and I, with on to the next one, doing some matchmaking. I'm sure we'll talk about it on What the Heck. We'll talk about it on Between the Links. So this isn't goodbye UFC Vegas 30 forever. It's just so long, everybody. But and then we have a rare weekend off next week from the UFC. Is the build to UFC 264 is officially upon us. So those promos, by the way, today, excellent promos.
Great promos.
Yeah, except here's what they always do.
Not really the truth, but great promos, by the way.
Here's what they always do. And they've been, me and our mutual friend Oscar Willis always talk about this. Since for like the last 17 months, it's basically been me, Oscar, and John Morgan have been the only constant media presence at these events. Is they will take one of our questions. This is unembedded and on the countdowns. They will take one of our questions and then cut the answer and then take an answer from a separate question and then puzzle piece it. So they'll take the different answer with the different question and put them together so it sounds more interesting. And they did that. That is exactly what they did on this preview show. I'm pretty sure they used several of my answers about Connor talking about Habib, and they just framed it like he was talking about Dustin Poirier.
Yeah. It kind of sucks. That's why I don't watch Embedded, because, you know, I work in journalism. I like true stories. And Embedded, while they're fun to watch and it's fun to watch people get haircuts and sign posters, a lot of it's just not true. what happens?
Dude, they haven't done the haircut in a bit because they can't.
Damn you, COVID.
Well, enjoy BKFC and all the boxing.
Yeah, lots of boxing.
Javonte Davis.
Tank Davis.
Yes, lots of.
Tank Davis, Ryan Garcia, make it happen.
Lots of fun boxing, whether with gloves and without. But until, enjoy that. We'll talk again soon. For Casey, Jose, I am Mike Keck. Good night, everybody.
MMA. MMA.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Koreshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with the bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.